This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, August 15th, 2012. My name is Doug Kelly. I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter, of course.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, everyone.
Good to have...
15th of August.
Yeah,
middle we're in a countdown, you know.
I know.
She's next on the 21st. It'll be exactly how long? Let me see. How many months do we have left, Doug?
Anyway. 4 months.
Yeah.
4 or 5 months.
4 month countdown.
1, 2.
4 months and a few days. Just for those who don't know what we're talking about, there's that doom and gloom for December 21st, 2012, of which we do not buy into here at IMHS or MCHS.
Either one.
Life will be as it's supposed to be on December 22nd, so keep paying your bills.
Yeah, and don't go heavily into debt. Well, anyway,
that's right.
We welcome everybody who's listening to the live program tonight, as well as those listening to the archive. Good to have you with us. Metaphysical Universe is an educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our goal is to empower the human spirit, study science and spirituality, and the cosmic metaphysical connection, if you will. So we have topics that are relative to those goals. So if you'd like to ask questions tonight, those of you listening live, you're more than welcome to. There's the chat room. You can use that, or you can call us. The numbers are on your screen, 714-459-3973. Tonight we're going to be talking about synchronicity and the law of attraction, the connection, what exactly synchronicity is, and so on and so forth. It's an interesting topic because if you've ever had an incident or an experience with synchronicity, it's just amazing. And you know, so let's talk about what synchronicity is. Really, synchronicity is simply coincidence that goes beyond mere chance. Some amazing things have happened. In one of our courses, we show a video. It's actually the Advanced Metaphysical Topics course, M2, in the IMHS degree program. There's a video that talks about a little boy who was playing baseball. Actually, he was the bat boy, and another player was kind of swinging the bat, and the first little boy just kind of walked into it and got hit right in the chest, and it stopped his heart. Well, there was a lady there who came and did some quick CPR, and brought the little boy back. He was fine. He must have been 9 or 10 years old, something like that. Well, a few years later, this little boy, kind of grown up, he was now 15, 16, 17, working in a restaurant. He was probably a little older than that because he was going to college, too, so figure 18, 19, 20. And he was supposed to go to class, but something came up. He didn't need to go to class, so he told his boss if they needed help, he'd was available. They asked him to come in, so he's in the back cooking or working in the back of the kitchen, and there's one of the patrons is there, and she gets something stuck in her throat and can't breathe, and the boy's mother, actually the young man's now his mother, actually happened to be there eating too, and so she called, yelled out to him because she knew he knew the Heimlich maneuver. So he came out, rushed out, and was able to help this woman free the food stuck in her throat. Well, it turns out this is the very same woman who saved his life all those years before. So, you know, what are the chances of such a thing happening? Some of the thought process behind synchronicity is that it's related to quantum entanglement. We're all connected, right? And sometimes we can get connected even in a little more intense way, such as this experience I just related. But we probably, if you're listening to this, you probably have your own experiences. You pick up the phone to call somebody, and they're trying to call you. Or you're thinking of somebody you haven't talked to in years, and lo and behold, they call you on the phone shortly thereafter. That kind of a thing. So those are synchronistic experiences. And if you do have an interesting experience you'd like to share, we'd love to hear it. So why don't you get on the phone or get on Skype, either one. You can call us and and relate your experience. We'd love to hear, or you can type it out in the chat room.
Well, I was thinking that people would sure learn synchronicity if they didn't pay their bills and were still here on December 22nd. Those bill collectors will be all over it. You know, I have a very recent story that I think is some kind of synchronicity, Doug. As you know, and some people know, I have just moved from one part of Canada to another part. And on Facebook, not too long ago, I had become friends with a fellow I was in grade one school with. Now, understand, we've been out of school a long time, so this is a long time ago. Now, what I didn't know is he spends a lot of time where I just moved to. So when I announced on Facebook I was moved, he got a hold of me and said, by the way, you know, I'm not very far from you. So, you know, after all these very many years, we decided to have a cup of coffee together. Very nice. Had a good visit. He filled me in on what's going on around. You know, he'd introduce me to a few people. That was just wonderful. Well, the next morning, I go to a nearby town. I'm going into the hardware store, and lo and behold, who do I run into? The same fellow. Well, each of us had a few minutes, so he gave me a tour of the town. Really helped me out because I got my bearings. And, I mean, is that not synchronistic? Now, he has since left the area, moved on with his life to the next wherever he goes. And and I think, wow, that is, I think, synchronicity in motion.
Yeah, in more
ways than one. Actually, oh, wow. So, I mean, and it's somebody I had known. We were actually in the same grade two class together and many grades thereafter, but we were right across from the hall from each other in grade one. So this goes back a long way. And I think that's pretty cool. This is what I find fascinating. How is it that there are some people you know you can live in the same city with and never run into them? But
yeah,
there are other people you run into all the time. That fascinates me. Why do we intersect repeatedly? Like, why at the store? Or, you know, why is it that you're going for a cup of coffee with a friend and then you run into this one? And it seems to be there's similar people, you know, and over many years can happen. I find that very fascinating. Why them and not others?
Well, it's because we can be more connected to certain individuals than others. You know, this. I mean, if you look at this whole topic of synchronicity, yeah, you know, again, it's chance that goes beyond chance. Coincidence that goes beyond mere chance. It's just so unbelievable that it just seems to go beyond chance. And this term, let me check my notes here just so I can be accurate when I say this, but it was back during the 1920s that psychologist Carl Jung developed the concept of synchronicity. He coined the term. But basically things that go beyond mere chance, and he developed the concept for about 30 years, and he published a paper in 1952 entitled Synchronicity and a Causal Connecting Principle. That was along with physicist Wolfgang Pauli. Most of us, I'm sure, remember or know of the show The Twilight Zone. That was largely based on the concept of synchronicity, although in a perhaps a macabre way, but it was.
That was a very scary show to me when I was a young girl, but I loved it.
Yeah.
Twilight Zone.
Things that happen.
Wow.
So the thing, though, that we have to be careful of is when we're talking about synchronicity, there's some things that can come close. Like, well, you know, psychic phenomena, foretelling things, having a dream and then it comes true. You know, not so sure that's synchronicity. It's more like psychic predictions. What do you think, Vicki?
Well, here's what I'm... You know, you and I had a conversation not too long ago, Doug. You had watched a show and we're really pondering this notion now of quantum physics where time actually goes backward. So I wonder how much is Akashic Records versus other dimensions or deja vu. Like, what are these things? Because they seem to be somehow synchronistic to our moment in time. So, you know, even as a psychic ability, you know, being able to project something, what are we really tapping into? Are we tapping into something that's already happened?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, boy, this sure gets convoluted, doesn't it? Because we could be tapping into the Akashic record that has no time and space, that everything is happening now. But has it already happened if time goes backward? And we're the ones actually backward, but time is going forward the other way. So
right. This
is what fascinates me. Here's the thing. This is what fascinates me the most, is that we have to ask questions on these possibilities. And if we're in it and we really give some attention to things that are going on in our everyday lives, I think we could find all kinds of experiences that we could label as psychic, a kind of psychic experience, or a synchronistic experience, or a deja vu experience. And we're always trying to label things, but what is it really? And this is where I never grow tired of this topic, because I want to know what it is, that we're somehow tied into some people, not other people. We can be tied into these things, but not those things. So how come I have the ability to maybe have a glimmer into the future for people, but other people do not, but they're good at something else?
Well,
to see this, what are we all tapping into, and what aspect do we each have an ability for?
That kind of goes with different gifts, you know, and talents, things like that.
But and some people are better observers than others. You know,
that's a talent.
I had a discussion with someone today about, for me, I can't think about what other people are, because your belief system determines what you see anyway. But for me, whenever I see an owl or an owl starts coming to me regularly, it means that there's a big change coming. And the best part of the question that was asked to me is, maybe you put out the thought and the owl came.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Well, see, that also goes along with quantum entanglement, which is kind of what synchronicity is based on, along with attraction. We'll get to attraction in a minute. But the thing that you're talking about with people, this is where synchronicity kind of gets muddled a little bit. You know, and I don't know whether this is actually a case of synchronicity or just quantum entanglement or attraction or all of it. And that's just my wife Tracy and I. It's as if we sought each other out. We ended up in, you know, in one, the same town from completely different. She grew up in Florida. I grew up in Utah and Colorado. And, you know, we ended up in the same town. We ended up meeting, you know, and then it just went from there. And it was just a lot of, and the other thing about it is that I just really felt like I knew her, but I didn't know her. So I don't know if that's synchronicity or not, but that's where it gets muddled. Here's another good example of synchronicity that one of my students had reported on a few years back. He was singing, you know, he's a musician anyway, so he's in his car driving, and he's thought of a song from the 70s, and he's singing along, and, you know, just kind of in the mood, just starts singing. He's not listening to the radio at this point. He just starts singing the chorus line from this song. And then he, you know, flips on the radio, and lo and behold, the song is playing on the radio, and he's right in time. It's the same words that he's singing at that moment. You know, I mean, he's right in time with it. Same words, same time, everything. You know, wow, that's one heck of a coincidence.
That's fascinating.
I mean, you know, and that's synchronicity. I mean, it goes beyond mere chance. So, you know, either he's got a metal tooth that's tuning in radio waves, or that's just a joke. I'm just kidding. You know, but there's your synchronicity, and there's other examples. You know, you go on a cruise, and an Alaskan cruise, and you're talking with your friend about somebody you'd known years and years ago, and lo and behold, you meet him on the cruise. You know, what kind of, that's synchronicity. I mean, those kinds of things happen.
But could it also be, that's where we get kind of confused, because that could be a psychic experience, that maybe they're in your space and you're tuning into that, and then it prompts you to have that discussion. see if we're empathetic and we hear thoughts or we're connected to thoughts. You know, that's what I wonder about. That. Is that synchronistic or is that a psychic experience that we kind of take as synchronistic, you know? This is where I find it fascinating.
And it could be that. See, that's, you know, is it a case of telepathy or is it a case of synchronicity? I mean, is synchronicity a type of telepathy? You know, does it involve telepathy? I mean, if you think about attraction, the law of attraction, magnetism, you know, those are all involved, quantum entanglement. And for those of you, maybe I should just for the sake of any new listeners, quantum entanglement simply means that you're connected. Quantum entanglement is two particles are connected. When one particle changes, the other particle changes instantly, not at the speed of light, but rather instantly, I mean faster. It doesn't matter how far apart these particles are, they are connected on a quantum level, so they call it quantum entanglement. And it's like when you know somebody so well and you know you finish each other's sentences, so to speak, or and it's like Tracy and I mean she knows me, and I, you know, when I'm doing something, she knows why. She knows she'll say something, she'll know I'm going to say something. It's, you know, again, is that part of just knowing somebody so well that, you know, that you're connected with them, or is it go deeper than that? And, you know, that's just up for debate.
Well, I'd like to share a story that's, I think, both psychic and synchronistic in an odd kind of way. It's still a mystery to me, if I can share this story, Doug. But 20 years ago, because I used to do a lot of sculpting and a lot of clay work, and I started sculpting masks, and I'd make molds and then replicate these molds. And to me, they were always random faces of what I thought was spirits who were walking with me or spirits that I'd meet, because I'd get these faces out of nowhere. And so that was just part of one of the hobbies I did. One day, there's a friend of mine who's also a medicine man who conducted lodges at the time, and he was visiting. We're having tea, and I said, you know, I just have this feeling to take you into my studio. We went in the studio. He's looking around and finding it interesting, and he stopped at this one mask, and he goes, that one. He said, would you make me that one? That's one of the grandfathers that walks with me, who's in the lodges with me, meaning one of the spirit entities that would walk with him. And I said, wow, because that's really powerful to me. I've never made a ceremonial mask, but I'd be happy to do that for you. And he's shaking his head too and kind of looking at me, because these are always mysteries to even those of us who live the mystery. So a few weeks later, another woman I know, who is an elder from one of the reserves way up north of where I lived, she was visiting for tea. Same thing, I got this voice in my head. You know, I said, I'd like to take you in my studio. And she went over to the same mask and started weeping right away. And she said, that's my grandfather. I said, wow. So you stay out of the way. She's having a moment. And I said, well, I was already told to invite you to a ceremonial lodge, you know, next month if you would attend. And I'm supposed to have this mask done for the ceremony. So, you know, it was just all these things that I'm having, what I believe are psychic experiences, but it really is valuable and means something to these other people on different levels. Well, the story didn't really end there, because about a month or two later, I had this voice in my head. It said, take me to my daughter. And I figured it out that I should make another mask. I called this woman and I said, I'd like to come up to your place and meet your mother. I have a gift for her. And I did that. And, you know, as ceremony would go, I presented her a gift. She returned the gift. They didn't have a picture of this particular man, except a picture of his brother. And even I was stunned to see how much this mask resembled this face in this picture. Hmm. And it was taken back in the 1940s. They had long been deceased. And I was honest. Even I was shocked. And I said, now I get what everybody's talking about. Because to me, these are just spirits. You know, these are my friends and just things in my head. But it was such a valuable thing. And this woman's mother, obviously the daughter of this grandfather, got a moment with her with her dad, and I guess she hung it in her bedroom, and she doesn't ever take it down and won't let anybody else see it. She was really close to her dad. It was a really important gift to her. So this is where it's beyond chance, beyond anything I could imagine. I can't, you know, I mean, I think, geez, who makes up these movies, you know? Because it was a pretty powerful story to me. It gave me a validation in my reality, because it's a different kind of reality, but it affirmed to me that, you know, no matter whether it's valuable to anyone else or not, I know what it is to me, and I'm going to stand firm in doing what I do. And I think that's what's really important for people to know, too. So if you're recognizing it, it means something to you, then it is a synchronistic somewhere, somehow experience. So I thought it was a pretty cool story at the time.
Yeah, it is. So, you know, that kind of begs the question, what do we make of it? I mean, when it's one of these synchronistic events happens, what does it mean? You know, what do we make of it? Is there a lesson in it? Is there new knowledge in it? And perhaps there is, and perhaps that's unique to the situation, to the individuals. One of the things that occurs to me in terms of these synchronistic events happening is that it just, again, underscores how we are so connected. And when we look beyond that, or look deeper into it, I should say, it really goes to show that we're connected with everybody. Everybody's connected, at least on a consciousness level, and we don't want to downplay that too much. We don't want to sell that short. And that's probably one of the big things. There might be other lessons or other bits of information in it. You think about attraction. You know, what does synchronicity have with the law of attraction?
That's a pretty powerful thought. Like, what are we putting out there? Like, what are the odds of somebody recognizing one of the masks? Did I project that? Because it was a very rare thing for these people to come for tea and visit and so on. So the law of projection and the law of magnetism, what we attract. So we are seeing. Don't you think, though, Doug, we see what we believe?
Well, yeah.
You know, you only really see it if you believe it, or not the other way around. And if we just kind of give attention to it, it is always happening.
Well, yes. If you believe it, you'll see it. I mean, we are guided by our beliefs, obviously. What we think about, what we visualize, what we focus on. And that's why it's so important to focus on what you want, not on what you don't have. Because the mind is an incredible thing. It will, you know, will bring your outside reality in line with your inside reality. So we have to make sure that we think what we want to think, you know, good thoughts, healthy thoughts, positive thoughts. And we want to put that out to the universe too, especially when we want to grow, we want to accomplish things, whatever it happens to be, whatever our goals are. You know, use that deliberate intent. And one of the things that I do is imagine, and we've done the soul light meditation on the program before, and basically, you know, when you meditate, and it can be just be for a few minutes, but when you meditate, you think of that light above your head, that soul light, that's your essence, your higher self. You bring it down into your heart area, into your chest area, and just send out your tentacles, really. You know, the tentacles of going out into the universe, and you have your deliberate intent, and that's deliberate intent, you know, with gratitude. Being grateful for at least what you've got. You may not have everything you want, that's fine, but at least you're grateful for what you have, for the blessings that you have. You put out that deliberate intent, those tentacles of deliberate intent, and that again involves that law of attraction, law of magnetism, and that can, I mean, that can argue, it sets the stage for synchronistic events to occur. That can just, I mean, I've had these things happen, and this is an interesting thing I was actually noting a while back, a few weeks ago. I was telling my wife about this, that, you know, we moved recently, and there was a time or two we needed a thing or two, so I'd get on Craigslist and see if they had it, and they had it. And later I'd go and, you know, looking for the same thing to see if there was anything else out there, and they didn't have it. It's like whenever I go and I need something, it's there, you know, it's available. It's kind of weird. I mean, it just kept happening again and again to the point where I thought, wow, I mean, is this always the way it is? Because, you know, it's like when I'm ready for it, it's there. It's very weird.
Well, how come some people tend to be lucky to win things, and the best I get is a parking space? But I'm grateful for the parking space.
I get a lot of those,
truly,
too.
Yeah. You know, and I tell you, my kids are used to it, but my sons-in-law, they say, are you kidding me? Because they're, you know, they'll drive around, drive. I said, no, go over there. There's space right over there. How did you know there's a space there? Because I ordered it. Mm. You know, and when I order a parking space, I get a parking space. And the thing is, I just suck at the lotto.
Yeah, I'll trade the parking place for better luck with lotto.
So, you know, there's a comment just now in the chat that says it's the parking karma. You know, karma is a really powerful word that's used a lot, because we say maybe that's your karma. Well, what is karma? You know, we get back what we put out, and they say that's karma. Sometimes I think we just take karma a little too far. I really do. It's the power of the unconscious mind, even though we think we have a conscious, you know, projection of thought. There's always an undercurrent of something, you know, which maybe has nothing to do with karma at all. Maybe it has to do with just being more responsible in the moment and knowing who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And does that not just make better sense, I think?
Yeah, karma, you know, I have my own thoughts on karma. My wife, Tracy, wants to get a T-shirt that says karma owes me cash or a dead body. I'm not even going to go into what that means, but, you know, specific dead body. Anyway, but it's funny.
Well,
you know,
I had a wonderful wise man once tell me that there is karma if you believe there's karma.
Well,
so if we're looking at that karma, and I guess that's my point too, if we look at it as, oh, well, that's my karma, or that's karma, it's kind of like, well, you get what you deserve. And it just feels so negative,
mm-hmm.
you know, as opposed to aspiring to the positive to say, well, if I'm going to create a karmic flow, what do I have to look at in myself to change a thought, to change an energy flow? Because if we go back to the beginning of this conversation, we're talking quantum entanglement and energy,
mm-hmm.
we realize that thought is energy. So how are we going to line up with other thought energy that's more likened to ours? That, to me, I think is a greater view of karma, like to create a positive karma if we're going to use it in its literal tense. That just makes better sense to me, as opposed to karma as punishment.
Well, karma...
That's usually what people think karma is.
Right, but in reality, karma is basically you reap what you sow, you know, you get what you put out. And, I mean, that's just a physical law. It's a cosmic law. I mean, if you work toward it, you're going to achieve it. That's just the way things work. And so that's why it's important that we put out there the things that we want. We focus on what we want, not on what we don't have. That's why we have to be careful of what we think and what we put out to the universe, because that's what happens. Again, you know, if you want your outside world to change, you've got to change your inside world first. I've been saying that for years. And so you have to make sure that your inside world is one that you want, and you focus on that. And then it pretty much drives synchronicity, doesn't it? Because if you're doing that, if you are putting it out there, at some point in the future, you're going to probably find some synchronistic events occurring. You'll be in the right place at the right time to get that thing that you wanted or accomplish that goal that you wanted to. Everything's right. It's like the universe is just aligned magically, almost, to allow you to get that. And that's what happens with consciousness. I mean, to a large extent, and probably to the full extent, we create our own reality. And our minds are more powerful than we give them credit for, because our minds have created the reality we're currently in. So if you don't like your current reality, change your mind. Change your world, as they say.
Well, you know, it's very interesting. When I, as I told you earlier about the story of moving here, running into an old school chum who, you know, knew the area, could show me around, I didn't have a conscious thought, Doug, of, geez, wouldn't it be great if I could run into somebody I knew who could show me around, you know, and introduce me to a few people. I had no thought of that. So somewhere in the energy, I guess, and what you're saying too, is like somewhere in the undercurrent of the unconscious mind was a positive, I'm going to meet people here. I'm going to, you know, I really want to settle in. I want to get to know the area. And just somehow in the cosmos, somebody heard me. Mm-hmm. And oh, well, we can line that up for you. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't think it happens literally. I think it's just that energy flow that something manifests or shows up to be supportive of what it is that we're looking for. You know, I often say be very, very careful about what you ask for because you're going to get that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but maybe it speak more in a generality of from a positive base so that all the other players in the place, so to speak, can line up to support it. So, I mean, I was just blown away that everything I needed is just suddenly there, but I didn't necessarily ask for exactly that. So that's a good example of what you were talking about.
Yeah, but then you can argue that your consciousness needed it, understood that you needed it, requested it, if you will, in a certain way. So, you know, that's part of that. And you know, if you're in the habit of putting it out there like that to the universe, it's like it becomes, it happens on an unconscious level, right? So it's happening.
You know, you mentioned earlier, Doug, about you and Tracy, how you met. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just seemed so synchronistic that you have an understanding of each other. Mm-hmm. It just fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have a lot of people who come to me looking for their mate, their partner, their soulmate, and so on. And, you know, they have a list. You know,
right.
It's like the list of criteria. And how I've coined it for many years now is just to say, why don't you simply ask for somebody who's on the same vibrational frequency as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just say, have your own little meditation, your prayer, whatever you want to call it, and just say, I am ready to receive a partner to share my life who is on the same vibrational frequency as myself. And never mind the list, you know, because you don't know what's, I think we try to predetermine the outcome. We think, well, if he's not tall, dark, you know, and really handsome, and, you know, we have this list, and he has to do this for a living, and we get hung up by our belief systems or our desire systems, if you will, our emotional attachments, that we're in the way of just what's good for us, what we really want anyhow. You know, I mean, you didn't say to the universe, oh, I really want a woman who knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, and you probably weren't looking at all. Truth be known.
No, actually, we were both married to somebody else at the time, you know, and
yeah,
and when I first met her, I mean, I met her at the church we were going to, and I said, have we met before? I mean, I knew I hadn't, but she seemed so familiar. Have we met before? And she said, no, I don't think so. And it was so odd. I can remember it just like it was yesterday, and it was back in 96, honestly. We didn't get together until 1999, but because, you know, both of our marriages had fallen apart by that time, and due to alcoholism on the parts of our former partners. And
did they get to?
No.
Sorry.
No, not at all. But I remember this vividly. I'm thinking, and it was during the service, I'm looking at her thinking, God, I know her. Where do I know her? I can't possibly know her. I mean, I had only moved to Florida a month or two prior to that. So I knew I hadn't really met her, but I couldn't get past that overwhelming feeling that I knew her. I had met her, but it's like I should know this person. It was very weird. I mean, there was no romantic feelings or anything like that. It was just this person I saw at church, and I knew her, but I didn't know her. And it was just, it's just, you have to be there to experience it. It's just weird. And so
it's like the frequency. You connected
yes,
with the frequency.
But it was more than that. And that's, And you know, and so, and it was so intense that it's the one of the of a couple of three things that, you know, gets me thinking that we lived before, you know, that reincarnation could be true, even though I can't find any logically compelling reason for it. You know, it's one of those, how else can we, it was like we searched each other out for all these years, and finally we found our way to each other at this place, you know, with, I mean, who would have thunk? And I can't explain it, and she feels the same way. We just can't explain it any other way other than we just searched each other out, and, you know, unbeknownst to us, on an unconscious level, on a cosmic level, whatever it was, we ended up in the same place at the same time, and it took some time yet before our personal lives were such that we could actually connect, and, you know, we haven't looked back. I do want to...
See,
after you go ahead.
That's where I say that. I just want to insert again, so if anybody, just to reinforce what I'm saying about relationships, just project for someone to be with you who's on the same vibration or frequency, and the lessons or the layers of experience will present themselves, and not to have those preconceived notions of how, when, what, and so on, that it's supposed to happen, because it will happen when it's supposed to. Does that make sense? I think I just copped out there when I say it happens when it's supposed to. It's just all part of the ride, I think.
All part of the ride.
That's what I say. When all else fails, I just say life's a ride.
Well, that it is, you know. And I don't know how, again, I don't know how much that was synchronicity, but other than, you know, it just was a mutual searching out. But when we think about that, if we're not yet with our soulmate or with that, you know, special person, again, you're putting out that deliberate intent, somebody that has the same vibrational frequency, harmonics, you know, and all that, we put that out. And yet we need to be observant for when that occurs. And there's a thought or two in the chat room that kind of goes along with that. One of them, Zach writes, I get the impression of being in the right place at the right time during each synchronicity in more than just a physical sense, like nature's way of saying, keep doing what you're doing. That's true. Kathy comments, maybe it only seems like the right place at the right time, but what might be happening is that these things are happening all the time, but it's only certain times that we choose to make ourselves aware of them. You know, then when we do, we think, wow, what are the chances of that happening? And we've all said that, right? Wow, what are the chances of that happening? And yet, can we be more observant for the synchronicities in our life? We all have those, like the parking place. Wow, I lucked out, I got a parking place right up front. Or a prime parking place. So what about things other than parking places in our lives? What little, what do I even call them? What little blessings, you typically use that word, but what little gifts of life that we get each day that... you know, going through life on a green light. I'll say that sometimes. You know, you get all the green lights. Well, there's a nice one. But there's other things, too, that happen in our life, but we have to be able to see them and recognize them and be grateful for those, even if they're little things. There's some power behind this whole gratitude thing, and I'll be the first to tell you that over the years I thought, okay, yes, gratitude is important, but honestly, you know, I don't know what all the hype is, but I'm here to tell you that the more grateful you are, the more energy of gratitude that you send out to the universe, it's like the gratitude thing, honestly, is like grease for the wheels of attraction. I don't know else to put it. It greases those wheels. It just makes things flow easier. It helps. So put out that gratitude. Put out that deliberate intent, and then be aware. Be open and observant and be on the lookout for synchronistic events to happen along those lines.
I think gratitude is the positive energy. You know, when I really think there are times when folks are, and I've probably done it myself, where it's what I call a positive negative. I think I'm being positive, but there's a negative behind it, you know, that I'm not even conscious of yet. But if I go to a place of gratitude, it's a focus of a positive. It's a welcoming of positive. So if that kind of helps to define for people, if you're going to project for positive, project your gratitude. And, you know, certainly, you know, what you want to happen more of, and then be observant of the gratitude that is your positive instead of worrying about negatives.
Right.
So, but the positive-negative energy is a tough one. Gratitude fixes it, if you want to say mm-hmm. it that way.
Grease those attraction wheels with gratitude. Just be grateful. I mean, it's just a positive emotion anyway. And how many of us would rather be around people who are at least grateful for what they have? You may not have everything. Life may have even been tough, but you got something to be grateful for. And if you don't think so, try looking around. No matter what situation you're in right now, you can be in a toxic relationship. You can be having an extremely tough time, but there's something to be grateful for. Put that out and expand that gratitude out into the universe. Visualize this stuff. You know, this is not foo-foo stuff, folks. This is not crazy New Age stuff. This is the way the mind works. The mind, the language of the mind is visualization. It's imagery. Use that imagery. Use that power of your consciousness to send it out. And literally, whatever you want to visualize, I visualize that soul light, you know, that higher self that's sending out rays of light and beams and tentacles that draw in what I'm looking for. And use whatever visualization you want. Your mind understands what your intent is. Just make sure your intent is well-defined and it's deliberate and it's positive, because you want that positive consciousness. And that's part of, you know, it's all involved in being grateful for what you do have. And it will only get better. Things will only get better. We are where we are because of us, because of the choices we've made, the decisions we've made, the steps we've taken. You know, sometimes we zig when we should have zagged. It happens to everybody. But we learn from that. That's experience. That's why you can't go to college and major in experience 101. You got to live it. You got to earn it. And it can be costly at times. But learn those lessons. And don't give up. Don't ever give up. Ever. Don't lose hope. You know, when you've lost hope, it's over. Don't lose hope. Regardless of what your situation is, do not lose hope, because it can change on a dime. It literally can, and often does. So,
you know, speaking of changing on a dime, Laverne wrote in the chat, "I am grateful for every penny I find on the ground." And one of the replies was, "Yeah, me too, and the dimes and the quarters." So,
yeah, I'm looking for the 20s and the hundreds.
You know, here's another thing. You got to see the humor, see the lighter side of things. You know, we're all human, and we all find ourselves in those kind of crazy places. Well, instead of going into the anger, the depression, find the humor. And sit back and tell us stories, see the stories in life, and looking at these synchronistic kinds of moments and with a certain amount of gratitude. I think sometimes we can read things into life a little too much. You know, somebody asked me, "Geez, Vicky, why did this bird fly in my window? It hit the window." You know, obviously it wasn't dead. It went and flew away. And I said, "I don't know. It's just a bird flew in your window. Maybe it doesn't mean anything except..."
Yeah.
Look up, you know. So don't, it can be very, very simple. The lessons don't have to be complicated. Don't read too much into it. If there's, you know, if there's pain or if there's difficulty or, you know, it's like, ooh, a scary thing. Well, see the other side. And you know, this is where I got to tell you, Dr. Doug Kelly and his Life Leadership Paragon, it changes lives, and it because a paragon is how to change your view, right? And just to shift it. Just shift the view a little bit, which is simply the self-acceptance, self-responsibility, respect for free will. And when we kind of go from that basis, you know, which is self-completeness, then we detach a little bit more from our negativity. It really does help us. It's a touchstone in a way. So, you know, get to know ourselves. And
you're talking about not taking yourself too seriously.
Exactly.
That's
which is all part of, which is right there in that paragon that, you know, in that formula that you developed, Doug. And when I have worked with people, I have used your paragon with my work with my clients, and it changes lives. It, like, eyes just open, and wow, when you put it together in that way. It's not information that we didn't know already. It all is there. It's how it's put together. So when we just, you know, tweak it a little bit and look at it from this way instead of that way, then we are able to kind of have a peripheral vision, really, instead of a, you know, a narrow micro vision in front of us. So it's this is where I think we're able to see more synchronicities. We're able to see more of what we have projected we did get. You know, it is all there because the universe is intersecting all the time. I just really love it when it's obvious.
Yeah.
Okay, come on, bring it on, please. Obvious, please. I'm too sleepy right now to see it. Can you show it to me a little clearer? No. So it's. I think that's what we want. We're looking for a little bit too much of the absolute and the, you know, and the finite, which is if we just, again, a more open, complete view, and boy, it's all right there in front of us.
And Kathy makes another comment, I've shifted my view from worrying about certain problems I was dealing with to realizing that life is one big adventure and to look forward to what could be just around the corner. And that really underscores, really, it's an attitude adjustment. You know, and I used to joke, I've got a new attitude on order from this company. It should arrive any day. But, you know, we have to, we have to really look at that. We have to really reform our attitude about everything in our lives. It's so easy to become negative, as you talked about. It's and to take ourselves too personally, and that's a huge thing that most people do. They take themselves way too seriously. It's not about you, and it's not about me. It's about us. It's about us working together, and it's about a broader view of your life. So look at your life in more of a macro view rather than a micro view about what you don't have or how difficult it is or whatever the case may be. Broaden out, look at the forest, not just one tree that might be, you know, on its last leg. Look at the forest, look at what you have. And I suppose one of the big points in this entire discussion on synchronicity is to simply, when you realize you're having a synchronistic event, think about it, ponder it. What's the meaning of this, if there is a meaning? There may not be really a meaning other than confirmation that we're all connected and that these vibrational levels or frequencies are similar among friends. You know, birds of a feather flock together, and that's true with people. Like attracts like. You know, differences don't attract. Opposites don't attract. They repel. And like attracts like. A lot of people have argued with me on that, but the fact is that like attracts like. And they'll say, well, then why does, you know, this two opposite people connect together? Well, it's real simple. They're probably both unhealthy in their relationship skills. In that way, they're alike, so they attract each other. An aggressive and a passive person, they come together. Why? Because they have unhealthy, they're unhealthy in their emotional state and so forth. So they attract each other, and they feed off of each other. And so that's the point. To sum it up, when you have a synchronistic event, think about it, learn from it, be encouraged that consciousness is so powerful, that the world we live in is so powerful. And if you don't think that's true, watch some of these documentaries that are currently on, at least in the United States, such as Through the Wormhole with Morgan Freeman is a great one. How the Universe Works is another great one. There's a bunch of documentaries that talk about quantum mechanics, quantum physics, string theory, all those things, because that has a lot of overtones. Even black holes has a lot of undercurrents for consciousness and how everything works.
I think one of the things that we can be rest assured of when we have a synchronistic moment, we can feel assured that the universe is supporting us in our journey. And it's not so much like anything outside of ourselves, except that we are a part of that universe and there is a support, like an energy support. So we're not alone. Nobody's alone. if synchronicity teaches us anything, is that we are all in this together.
Right.
And paying attention to these moments reminds us that we're supported in our journey.
And that is well stated. I mean, honestly, that's really it. You know, we can get so detached from the world, from life, from people. The fact is that relationships matter, folks. All the toys, they don't really matter so much. It's the relationships that matter the most to us. And, you know, the people we know, the people we connect with, because if you don't have healthy relationships with people or friends and that sort of thing, you know, life is not as enjoyable. It's the people that you are encircled with, entangled with, if you will, that can make life very, very enjoyable. Of course, it can make it miserable too, but that's only underscores the importance of making sure that you have a healthy outlook. And on that note, we just have a few minutes left. I wanted to go through.
Can we just answer the questions in the chat there, Doug? Just
surely.
Before you do that. Kathy asked, is there a way to decipher between the difference of a synchronistic event or the possibility that we're just reading into it what we want at the time?
Yeah, you can. Just take the facts. What do the facts tell you? You know, I mean, we can read a lot of things into things. Just, you know, use your deductive reasoning, your inductive reasoning, and what are the facts telling you? If I'm singing a song and I turn on the radio and that song is playing and it's right in sync with me singing, you know, I don't have to read anything. That's just fantastic. I mean, that's one of those cases where you just, wow, what are the odds? How could that be? I mean, that just goes way beyond chance. So you have to look at it. Make sure you don't infuse your own belief system in it, like everything's a synchronistic event, because it's not. You know, I walked out and I saw a bluebird and it was singing, and you know, it told me that the day is going to be beautiful. Well, if that's what you want to believe, that's great, but that's not synchronicity. That's just life, and it's a good thing, that part of it. That's my thoughts.
I agree.
Is there any other questions that we need to...
No, I think we've covered any questions. It's wonderful to see people chatting it up in the chat room.
Yeah.
We appreciate that, because it also helps us in, you know, supporting what you as the listener would like to talk about, where you're going with it, and that we're providing. So we're doing our best here, and I think it's great. The participation is awesome.
Mm-hmm. So, always like
I know
that.
you wanted to add a couple of things at the end of the show today, Doug, about the school and a couple of the courses that we have going on and what people can get from that. But also part of what is in the course study is synchronicity.
Yes, indeed. I wanted to talk just a bit about what it's like to take courses at IMHS, and especially with the degree program, because there's folks who might be thinking about enrolling in the degree program. They're unsure. They're, you know, checking out all the different schools that there are. And I wanted to just, and I'll probably do this fairly often because, you know, you never know who's going to be listening to the program, but I just want to tell you how to choose your school. Look at the curriculum and choose the school that's curriculum resonates with you. No, I can't talk. If the curriculum resonates with you, then go for it. You know, I haven't really seen one of these schools that are out there that are really trying to hurt you or screw you or cheat you or anything like that. It just depends on whether the curriculum resonates with you. One of the things about, well, several things about IMHS is that it's a human-centered philosophy. It's not a Christianized metaphysical school, and you won't learn Christianity stuff in it because it's not Christian school. It's humanistic. It's human-centered. It empowers and builds and encourages the individual, the human. It does not denigrate the individual. We talked about that before. So IMHS really focuses on grounded metaphysics. Metaphysics is consciousness and existence and everything related to that, and it's a broad, broad field. So what is it like to take courses at IMHS? Well, you know, it's It's designed to be an accelerated degree program for busy adults. That's one thing. I have gone to great lengths to make sure the courses contain meat and no fluff. You know, the important points and offered in kind of a comprehensive way, concentrated way. It's not a diploma mill. You have to earn your degree. You have to think. You have to actually learn the stuff. And I don't, you know.
I'll say. You work for it, guys. You work for it.
And that's just as it
not
should
hard.
Be.
It's sensibly.
Right.
I just want to say, when Doug says it's no fluff, Doug gets to the point in his courses. Like here, we're having this discussion on synchronicity. And you can expect some of that in there, but here's the information on synchronicity. And you are permitted as a student to come up with your own ideas. That's the point of supporting individuality. And I just had to inject that right there, Doug, because individuality and the support of that free-thinking minds is critical. And there's no underlying, you know, whatever going on here.
Well, and that's the point, you know, critical thinking, and you'll learn that. And so when you take courses, and especially the degree program, most of the courses are this way anyway, but each course is divided up into a number of segments. The number can vary depending on the course, usually between 4 and 8 or so. But each segment is kind of like a chapter in a book. And it'll have study material in PDF form. Everything's provided for you. There's no other additional books to buy. And so you... Interesting. You will study the segment, the study material, and some of them will have videos and audios along with them. Watch those, and you go from one segment to the next, 1, 2, 3, 4, and however many there are. There's an optional written assignment for the first 8 courses. It's optional, but there's a required exam, multiple choice, true and false, that sort of thing. And you take that, complete the exam, complete the written assignment for extra credit if you wish, and you're done with that course, you move on to the next one. The first 5 courses in the bachelor's program are all predetermined. Everybody takes those same 5 courses. And this is also true for the first 3 courses in the master's program, master's course 1, 2, and 3. And then after that, you get into your specialization courses. So you can specialize in spiritual counseling, life coaching, paranormal science, hypnosis, holistic healing, a bunch of them. And that's kind of what it's like. I'm here to help you succeed. So if you're thinking about enrolling in the school, give it a shot. There's no contracts. You can quit any time. You'll only stand to better yourself, better your life. And the comments, the testimonials have been fantastic. They're on the website. Those are all from previous students and current students. So if you have any questions, I'm here to answer your questions. You can just email us at admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org. Now next week...
And you know...
Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to talk about different kinds of divination next week. Things mm-hmm. like what is it to use tarot cards, all these other things. Like what is that about? So I'm looking forward to it.
Yes, indeed. And if you have ideas for topics for shows, we'd love to hear them. And here's another thing. You have a question you would like answered, why not email us, admin@metaphysicsinstitute.org. In fact, let's just do the church for us. Either one, admin@mchschurch.org will work too. If you have a question that you'd like an answer to, hear it on the air, we will answer that on the air. And we won't use your name. We'll keep your privacy. But, you know, next week we'll... might even entertain some spiritual advising if you want to call in. So we're here to try to brighten your day and expand your mind. We really appreciate everyone joining us tonight, either live or by the archives. Please tell your friends or those around you about it. And that's all I got to say on that tonight. Have a great week.
Join in. Thanks very much, Doug. Thanks, everybody.
Good night.